نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في قرآنه المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المعلم الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي الفضل والله اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد
Millions of times over, we should be grateful to Allah, His grace. He has saved us from all evil, from all desires of the nafs, from the attractions of the world, with health and well-being. Allah Ta'ala has, on the night of Jummah, He has bestowed and given to us this gathering, majlis, on the night of Jummah. Allah's ni'mas, Allah's gifts, Allah's treasures. If a person continues to be grateful, then Allah will increase and give him more. This is a great treasure, the dhikr majlis, the dhikr gathering. In the hadith it states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His mercy on the human being and His fadl and His grace, how does He make it apparent? How does He demonstrate it? Some people Allah gives wealth. Some people Allah gives money. Some people Allah gives kingdoms. Some people's desires Allah Ta'ala fulfills. And many dunyawi material things Allah gives in the world. But the greatest treasure and reward for that person who Allah gives the tawfiq, the ability to perform His remembrance, His dhikr. So all of this is the fares, the blessings of our pious predecessors, their barakat, their blessings. This is the effect of their sohbat, their company, that a human being, he attains the ability to attend a good gathering. And it's essential for us that a human being in his life, that when he starts his journey of the deen, then he starts it with the connection, a relationship with a pious person, with a wali Allah. And through that company of the wali Allah, this is the tariqah that Allah has prescribed in the Quran to find the pious company. The path is difficult, it's not easy, it is hard, but it is easy at the same time. At the same time, in parallel, it is easy. It's hard when you travel on your own. It's easy when you travel with a companion, a guide who shows you the way. Then he makes the path easy. If you go on your own route, you have your own complications, you make life hard. It's very easy. There's only one tariqah, one method. Take the guidance of a teacher and just follow him on that path. We, insan, human beings, we have a weird situation, a weird scenario. We, if we think, pay attention, where are we as human beings? Look, there are three worlds, three places, abodes. One is the alam, the world such, where there's enjoyment beyond enjoyment, satisfaction beyond satisfaction. Every desire will be completed. Whatever you want, you will get. Whatever you want, you can grab. However much you want to sleep, however much you want to rest. However big a palace you want, get it. Whatever food you want, eat it. What will be there? Ajeeb, unique alam, unique existence, brilliant abode. Whatever you want, you'll get. Allah says, Jannatan, Mudhammatan. Allah says, Naddakhatan. Look at the description. Fima faqitan wa nakhli. Allah says, that such a beautiful place. That such a description. Hurum maqsuratum fil khayam. Fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban. Allah says, and just a little introduction Allah has given to the human beings. The enjoyment beyond enjoyment, satisfaction, ease, luxury, whatever desire comes to you. It's not that you'll have to earn money, save up money, nothing. Allah says, as soon as the thought comes in your mind, oh yaar, today I'd like to eat this. Immediately that food will be presented in front of you. whatever drink you want, whatever house, whatever wife you want, whatever partner you want. This is one existence. Say subhanAllah. When you listen to this, then you should, your hair should be standing on end. What's the other place? The other world. That's weird. Punishment upon punishment, difficulty, fire beyond fire, azab, punishment, distress, sorrow. May Allah Ta'ala protect us all from that place. We've heard about it. We can't even describe this place. Extreme, where there's no limit of the distress. Distress, sorrow, difficulty, azab and punishment and blood rivers, blood streams, and people will be drowning in there. Rasulullah saw this, that there's a river of blood and there's a man, he's swimming. He's desperately swimming in that river of blood and he gets to the bank. Soon as he gets to the bank, then the angels throw the rock on his head and he goes back into the middle of the river. He's struggling, he's drowning. This is another alam, another existence. We cannot reject this. And there's a third place. A third place. What is that place? That is the dunya, where we are now, sitting physically. And in this dunya, both things you'll find. There's ease and there's difficulty in this dunya. Both things you'll find here in this world. You'll get the luxury in this world according to the dunya. And you'll get difficulty according to the standard of dunya. Not the high standard that Allah Ta'ala has put in the hereafter. And not the difficulties that Allah has put in Jahannam. But both things, you will get glimpses or, you know, a few experiences, mild experiences in this dunya in which we are present. So now we have to think that, oh, I don't want difficulty in this world. It is impossible because both things are present here. Ease and sorrow. In Jannah, there's no difficulty. And in Jahannam, there's difficulty beyond difficulty. So in the world, you get happiness, you get ease, you get enjoyment, and at the same time, you get difficulty, sorrow, sadness, depression. This is dunya. So now, what is our purpose? What's our connection here? The Ajib unique points coming to my mind that I'm sharing with you. I don't know if you're interested in what I'm saying or not. I don't know if you're interested. But these are all points with regards to the hereafter. So where are we? We're stuck in the middle. And we are connected to both places in the hereafter. And we have been sent for one purpose in this world. Look at this point. That we are not here for a waste of time. This is the issue now we need to think about. We've been sent with a purpose, an objective in the world. Very straightforward objective. That it's up to you now, Allah says. SubhanAllah. It's your choice. Allah says, I've sent you in the world. I've put you in the center, in the middle. On one side is this, and on one side is this. On the right is this, on the left is this. Now you tell me, Allah says, where do you want to go? You have to come back to me thereafter. Allah says, Tarja'un. That you will have to return to me. And very quickly you'll return to me, Allah says. But it's your decision. Allah says, I've introduced you in the whole Quran that there's this world and thereafter. This is the luxury, and there's the other world where there's distress. So this is the concept. So we don't understand the deen. We don't understand religion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? Have you ever thought about this? Have you analyzed it like this, what I'm saying? Look here. So we are here. We have come with a decision to make. We have a decision to make. What's that? Allah says, so both, if I show them to you, but I've told you, you're going to come back to me. So I've created you as a unique piece of creation. You are a unique form of creation. And you are Ashraf. You are the greatest creation. Allah says, I've played this game with you. Allah says, I enjoy this, watching this. So I've given you that choice, Allah says. And it's up to you that you are, Allah says, I enjoy the fact that you were created and you have this system and you have this choice. So Allah Ta'ala looks, I've put you into the world as insan. Now, see what you're going to do. You want to come to this side or to this side, Allah says. Allah says, I've given you the choice. It's your choice. It's up to you. You have free will. Totally with free will, I've sent you, released you in the world. It's your choice, Allah says. It's my choice, your choice. Whatever you want, you can get. Allahu Akbar. So this is the biggest game in this world. The biggest game. Do you understand what I'm saying or you don't understand what I'm saying? This is the biggest point. Learning. We have to return to Allah. Have we ever thought that, Yaar, where will we go? Do you have a plan? Tell me. Yes? So, for example, if you're going to go out somewhere 2 o'clock on holiday, I'm going to go to this plaza, live here. If I go to Pakistan, I'm going to go on holiday. If I go to India, I'm going to go and see this tour. Whichever country you go to, you make a plan of the excursion, the journey. Oh, I'm going to go meet that relative, and I'm going to do this task with this person, and I'm going to go and do that. Even if it's a short period, for a week you're going, you'll have a plan, a schedule for that week, isn't it? So you tell me now, that do we not have any plan at all in our brains? in our minds such a great reality that we are going to return. Where are we going? Allah's told us where we're going. Here or there. So what's your plan, Allah says? Say subhanAllah. Have you ever thought about it? And the point is this, that my friends, such a great reality, such a great decision. We're stood on a pivot, such a great situation, that where we're going to live forever and ever, forevermore, may Allah forgive. If we come out on the left side, then we failed. End of story. No one to save us, no one to ask us, no one to have sympathy for us, nothing to benefit us. Oh, foolish people, it's a few days game. Few days game here, within a minute, Allah Ta'ala can create a means, and a person goes into hospital, and then Allah calls him back. What's there to be scared of? They have to go back. And day and night Allah is showing us physical experiences, but we don't make a plan. We don't make a schedule. We don't even think about it, the journey to come. What have I thought about the journey to come? What have I done? Think for a few seconds. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Yes? No, we're just having an analysis. I'm not giving a speech here, am I? We're just discussing. I've come here to host zikr and I've come to do zikr myself. And just a few points came in my mind. I saw you and I started speaking. It's not a speech. Yeah, do you like what I'm saying? Do you like what I'm saying? Yeah. If you like it, then I will carry on. Otherwise, I'll stop. If you don't like. So shall I continue? Okay. So it's a very unique situation. In the night, you're lying down. Have you ever thought in the night, where am I going? Am I going to go to Jahannam, hell, or am I going to Jannah, paradise? What's my plan? I'm about to go very soon. And the decision's been given to me by Allah. Remember this one point I'm telling you. Never think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will push me into paradise or give me a jerk. No, Allah's given you the choice, and it's your job, my job, that we need to select our own path and craft our own path. So when we pass away, 100% it should be the result that where should we go? Where? Into Jannah we should go. From where Allah ta'ala took us out initially. So why don't we think about this? Why don't we analyze? So this is the game. What's the game that's taking place? The game is this, that we, after putting us into planet Earth and this test, and after giving us some energy, Allah has given us the full responsibility and know-how and will and energy. We understand, we have the Quran, we have speeches, we have ilm, we have knowledge, everything Allah Ta'ala has put in front of us. Everything. But we have ilm, we may have Quran, we have everything. But even then we're going to do the wrong action. Why? Why is this? So the biggest restriction we have to learn, what's that? The biggest restriction, obstacle that destroys us, that's inside us, inside our own selves. Nothing else. No third party. For this preparation, my brothers, the biggest obstacle, barrier, restriction is inside ourselves, where everything is ruined. Listen carefully to what I'm saying and understand what I'm saying. Listen carefully. We ourselves are to blame. Inside, we destroy our own selves. You know? That you could say committing suicide, we're preparing ourselves to go to Jahannam. What is that factor? What's that element inside us that's destroying us? The whole game we'll understand today nicely, beautifully, clearly. What is it that destroys us? If we can get that control of that element, then alhamdulillah, our path will become easy to follow and travel on. And that is the very dangerous element, very dangerous factor upon which shaitan, he started his work to control the human being on that, and that is the thoughts, what we call wasawis, evil, negative. You'll have heard waswasa. You've heard this word, isn't it? Waswasa. The whole world today is distressed due to waswasa. In salah you have waswasa, reading Quran you have waswasa, doing tawaf you have waswasa, dirty thoughts come to mind. Is this not the case? You read Quran, waswasa come, do dhikr, waswasa come, you do this action, waswasa comes, I start a new action, waswasa starts coming, negative thoughts coming, back to the same position, I don't understand what's this. This is common, 99.9% what I'm telling you, the disease, sickness, what is this? This is called waswasa. Waswasa. And the most dangerous thing that takes a person to Jahannam is the waswasa. What is waswasa? What is waswasa? What is the understanding, meaning? Where does it come from? Waswasa. Look about. Think about it. So it's not coming from externally. It's not an environmental effect on you that's bringing waswasa. It's not that you've gone to place A, B, C, you became bad, or you went here, you became good. No, wherever you are able to control yourself. Allah has given you full control and energy, ability. You're doing tawaf, you can commit sin. You could be in Medina and commit sin. And you see this. We see this now. And if you don't want to sin, you could be in the worst environment, country or throne. But you could do goodness then. You can practice the best way and you could be the wali of Allah in the worst of environment. You could do dhikr there, you could wear imamah there, you could wear the dhoti there. You could follow the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that place. So it's not that due to the environment or circumstance. Is this not the case? Tell me. So this means that that point is a failure, that the environment affects you or you're influenced by the circumstances around you, or that if I want to improve myself, I have to go somewhere. That it's up to you. If you want to have a path to go to Jannah, to go to such a place where there's total dirt, where people commit sin, which is the root of evil, and you could practice deen in that place, that the world is amazed at how these people are practicing. What kind of child is this? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Here, that's one point. So you understand this point? It's proven here. It's my habit that when I speak, I'm not, obviously I'm used to speaking. That's why I'm giving this discussion, because I call the students and I have the discussion. So my brothers, it's control within ourselves that we can navigate with that control. So what is that point? What is inside us? So wherever a person wants to, physically, geographically, he can be good or he can be bad. In the worst of environments, he could be good. And in the best of places, he could be bad. So then what's the reason for this? The reason that there's another factor inside a person that controls him. And what is that? The wasawis of shaitan. What are wasawis? The thoughts. Inside a person, when waswasa is created inside a person, the evil thoughts or negative thoughts, then that waswasa, it carries on the journey. It doesn't just stop there. Yes? So you know, for example, an architect, he makes drawings, he makes plans, that this building, he makes the drawings, the sketches, then the building is constructed. Same way, waswasa, when it comes inside you, then it will carry on its footsteps and it will make you do other actions after that. It won't just stop there. It will take you to the completion of your desires, which are called, in Arabic, you can say, or khwahish, you can say, khwahishat, or your lust, or your desire. First comes waswasa. After the waswasa encourages you and drives you physically to your desires. You understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand what I'm saying? It's a system that I'm telling you, step by step, process. So when you then get to your desires, when the waswasa takes you to your desire, when you get there to the step, then you have determination. You have a will, and then you complete that physically, and it becomes a sin. Becomes a sin. That's the journey. For example, I'll tell you, for example, that there's a man, waswasa comes into him for zina, adultery, fornication. So when the waswasa comes inside him for zina, he goes to step two. Step two, what does it become? Becomes a desire inside him. Oh, I want to complete this desire. First he has the waswasa, the negative thought, evil thought. Then it becomes a desire to do zina. When it becomes a desire to do zina, then that desire goes next step and it makes him physically implement zina. Every sin is created like this. Where does it start from? Waswasa, evil thought, negative thought. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the waswasa, now listen to this as well. The whole situation starts from the waswasa. There could be a good waswasa, there can be a bad waswasa. There are two types of waswasa. You understand my points up to now? Waswasa can be a good waswasa, good thought, and it could be a bad waswasa, evil thought. Whose control is it in? It's in your control. Subhanallah. It's in your control. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, if it's a bad waswasa, it could invite you to zina. For example, if it's a good waswasa, good thought, it could invite you towards talawat of Quran, reciting Quran, dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. So the whole situation, it starts from where? Waswasa, the different thoughts. If the waswasa is bad, it will invite you, take you towards bad, and make you physically do bad. And if it's a good waswasa, it will invite you, take you towards physical implementation of the good. So the real point is that if a human being can control his thoughts and he can grab hold of his thoughts and he can control and analyze and deal with his thoughts, he can make his life good. And that's the game. That's the game, alhamdulillah. So today, if we correct our thoughts, recognize our thoughts, determine our thoughts, what will happen? Our direction will change. And what will we think then? Then we won't think about dunya. Then we'll start thinking about akhirah, hereafter. And we'll think about hereafter, our direction will change. Change of life. So this is the point, the question in front of you. So how do we do this then? How can we change our thoughts? What do we need to control? The waswasa. How can we do that physically? How physically can we control our thoughts? This is the main point to understand. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the cure. Subhanallah. It's a small dua. In the form of the dua, a very great question mark, Rasulullah sallam cured and solved for us, that our whole deen can be controlled and saved. In this dua, it is a dua, but in this dua, there is a complete cure that Allah Ta'ala has given and explained to us. This hadith I've just recited. And all of this came into my mind, this discussion and these points that is taught to us from this dua, this hadith. So what is it? That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the waswasa, where is it generated? It doesn't come in your mind, your brain. Remember this, we think that you're thinking in your mind. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, wasawisi qalbi. It's within the heart that the waswasa is generated. So the place, the physical place where the waswasa is generated, initiated, is the qalb. Good and bad thoughts, they are born inside the heart. That's the center point, the heart. This is what the dua teaches us. And this waswasa then, which is generated in the heart, then it creates a desire. It creates a desire. But first it's generated, born in the heart. Wasawisi qalbi, himmati hawaya. What's the second point? Huwa hawaya. Is the desire is then generated. So now the point is that whatever desire is generated, created due to the waswasa, what we need to do is this, kama tuhiddu wal tarda. That there are two desires. One is our desires with the waswasa that's generated. One is the desire that Allah Ta'ala likes and is pleased with. That's the desire. So that desire, that's our own desire. What's our desire? In this dunya, our desires we can see around us. Always, whole life, our desires that are made, which direction do they take us? May Allah forgive, may Allah save us. They take us to the opposite, negative direction. Dunya, money, wealth, fame, status. All of this is our accumulation of our desires, this dunya that we are living in. Our wants, our targets and aims, our waswasa have created the desires in our minds. Always 24 hours we have, from the 24 hours, most of the time, all of the time, 25 hours out of the 24, we pass in the worry of the world. What will happen to my children, my wife? What's going to happen with this house? That money I've got, what shall I do? If I get transferred there, what will happen? Or I came to this country, what will happen if I'm taken out? If I lose this job, what will I do then? How will I earn? If I don't have money, how will I pay the bills? Oh, how am I going to get married? I can't find a partner. When I get married, what will I do? Where will I live? What house? Oh, all day long, whole life long, thinking these things. So these waswasas have overwhelmed us. Overwhelmed us. They've become a restriction, a barrier for us to think. Have you ever thought you can decide yourself? That today, let's take today. In today's day, how much did we think? I speak about myself, mashallah, you people are pious, you will have definitely thought. How much did I think today? How much did I sit down? There's Jannah, the gardens of Jannah, will Allah be happy with me? What will happen to me there? Then I'll go, I'll die, the grave will come, I'm soon going to go in my grave, then this will happen. For that journey, how much time today did I think? How much did I analyze? Automatically, how much? Every second I should be thinking about this, assessing. Then no one's come to me and says, your house, business, business, shop, you have to get married, you should have a wife like this, this will happen, that will happen. Is anyone coming and convincing me today? No one. It's natural inside me, I'm thinking this all day long. So let's say this second point, hereafter change this thinking, mindset is dangerous. Rasulullah SAW has given us a message. Himmat-e hawaya, tuhibbu wa tarda. Oh foolish person, what are you doing? Why don't you think? Your whole life, you've just made it a bubble of desires. A bubble of desires, hawaya. All your life you're just passing maal, daulat, fame, wealth. These are your desires. Change them. Switch the direction, otherwise you'll be destroyed. Tuhibbu wa tarda. So these desires of the dunya, flip them around and generate those desires. Make that natural, your desire. That Allah Ta'ala likes those desires. Those desires make your life. SubhanAllah. Automatically it should come in second nature, just like these things, this in the dunya become second nature. Always, all day long in your heart should be just one thought, one thinking. What should it be? Tuhibbu wa tarda, the things Allah Ta'ala likes. What does Allah Ta'ala likes? Allah likes Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His Rasul. Allah likes this in the Quran. So what should I like? That I should love. Allah says, love my Nabi, become his lover, follow his sunnahs, don't be scared of anyone. Whatever he said you should do, whatever he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said you should do. Oh Allah, I like that. I really like that my Nabi sunnahs. Allah says, well, I like it when you follow my Nabi sunnahs and you follow his footsteps and you break millions of desires and barriers because you're fikr of the akhirah. And you say, Allah is such a great thing that I will do amal on one sunnah of Rasul sallam, and all the doors of Jannah will open, for which Allah says in the Quran, فَبَيْأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. That why do you reject the name of Allah? فَبَيْأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Such a great description of Jannah, and you are rejecting it, Allah says. Yourself you are rejecting Jannah. What's the reason for rejecting Jannah? Change your mindset, your ideology, your direction, your thinking, your purpose. You're drowned in the dunya. Allah says, follow my liking, my desires, my pleasings. Allah says, do it about my Nabi, love my Prophet. Allah Ta'ala desires that we pray salah. Allah wants that you do good deeds. Allah wants you to give charity, sadaqat, khairat, recite the Quran. Allah wants you to populate the masjids. Allah wants you to come to the masjid to do dhikr. Allah wants you to do maraqabah in the masjid, to itikaf in the masjid, to keep the fast of Ramadan. These are the things that are pleasing to Allah that I'm listing out here. Allah says, I want you to wake up tahajjud, remember your tahajjud time, and do lengthy du'as, ask me for things, I'll give to you, I promise to you, Allah says, I'll give to you. And the biggest thing is this, the asking from Allah, that the person who has more belief in Allah, more faith in Allah, more certainty in Allah, more belief in the hereafter, whoever is preparing more for the hereafter, always, as Allah, Jannah, Allah give me Jannah, Ya Allah give me Jannah. He keeps asking for Jannah, that person. That's it. He has no other trust. Like we ask Allah, give me this house, Allah give me wife, Allah give me children, Allah give me this. We keep on asking these things. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, if your direction changes, then you'll have no connection with the worldly things. You say, Allah, it's just a little time. Just like you're on a journey, for you're sitting in the train, and you know this train journey is 2 hours. After 2 hours, you're going to get to your station. So even if you're being shoved around, you're falling down, you have to stand on the train, you won't care. You won't care. It's only 2 hours. Even if I have to stand on the train journey, what difference does it make? I'll just pass the time somehow. Yeah, if I don't get a seat, no worries, khair, because I'm going to get to my... If someone says, sit down, oh no, it's alright my friend, it's okay, you sit down my friend, you sit down, I'll stand up. Because you have no concern, because you are focused on where you're going. You understand that example I've given? Yeah, so much, you have no worries, you have so much fikr that we have now, that we're only staying here, this journey of life is like the 2 hours on the train, but the dunya has taken us over. If we don't get this, what will happen? And when we want so many things, when we leave that, we leave so many things, well, mashallah, so many things, so many houses, shops, and money, paisa. We don't know what things we leave behind us. No one even knows. You cannot even imagine the things you leave behind. At least take one thing with you from here, this dunya, Hawaya. Can evaporate in thin air. These worldly things are penetrated our heart. The palaces and the mansions of the world have destroyed us. Alhaakum mutakathir hatta zurtumul maqabir kalla sawfa ta'lamun, Allah says. Say subhanallah. Do you understand? Do you like what I'm saying today? Do you understand what I'm saying today? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is he telling us? Wasawasa qalbi khashyati. That the thoughts, the waswasa that have been generated inside you, what are they? They have destroyed us. Wasawis. Negative thoughts. Negative desires that have embedded themselves on you. Kama tuhibbu wa tarda. You must get rid of these thoughts for very few days you are here. Make some permanent desires. Those desires and actions that Allah Ta'ala likes, that Allah will be pleased with if you do those actions this well. So to flip your desires, change them to the opposite direction, your thoughts, then your life will be made. That's when you can consider that your connection, your direction is going to that world which is on the right side, Jannah, paradise that Allah Ta'ala likes. Then you are the real journeyman, traveler. For that you have to work hard, make some effort. So our waswasa, our thoughts, we can't crush them. You can't eliminate them. Because evil, dirty thoughts, you must transform them, translate them to good, positive thoughts. That's your job. That the negative thoughts come in your mind whilst you're praying, when you're doing tasbih, you're thinking about women, money, dirty actions, evil thoughts while you're praying, you're saying Allahu Akbar, you're doing sajda, you're reading Quran, but those evil things aren't coming out of your mind. Dirty thoughts, you're distressed. Oh, I can't get rid of this, because you're not doing the right actions, you've given them a free rein. You've given them free rein. Control your thoughts. When you control your thoughts, you bring them into your hand, then those waswasa will change. Tuhibbu wa tarda. And that same waswasa will come during salah. Allah's spirituality, Allah's love, Allah's ham will continuously come to you then. That same salah, physically you're praying, but the good thoughts will come. How? Allah's Nabi says, in this formula he told us, wasawasi kalbi, waswasa in the heart, khashyati bi dhikrillah. There are two things you need to do to control your thoughts. Two things. Number one, dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. That's why we do dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Do you understand? Not to be pious. Yes, the pious people, the walis of Allah, when they tell us to do dhikr, he doesn't tell us to do dhikr, wali Allah, shaykh, so you become pious, a wali Allah, you see dreams and visions. No, the real purpose, the wali has told us in the Quran, that's why the teachers prescribe dhikr to us, and that's why it should be your niyyah, is that I am doing dhikr, I want to control my waswasa, my thoughts, and take them towards positive thoughts and desires. That's what you need to think. You have to assess yourself and lecture yourself. That what's inside me? If inside me you, if there's more overwhelming thoughts of Jannah towards Allah, towards paradise, you're thinking more positive and you have more thoughts positively. And you think, it's only a few days of hardship, no worries. If I get something, fine. If not, no worries. But if you're not doing that, and you give your all for the world bad, oh, I can't get this in the dunya, what shall I do? What shall I do? What dua shall I read? What wazifa shall I do? Prayer. Are you going on Umrah and Hajj? Even then you have the knee, Allah, want this worldly thing. You are going to do Umrah, Hajj, to do dua. I go to Rauza Mubarak and do worldly dua. Subhanallah. What place, holy places we have rejected, Allahu Akbar. Is this not the case? Tell me, my friends. Yes, why are you so distressed in the dunya when Allah Ta'ala says, rizq is in my control, wealth is in my control, Allah says, health is in my control, your everything in the dunya is in my control, Allah says, and it's a very easy solution. Allah says, you keep on asking me, I'll keep giving to you. Tell me. And for asking what we've done, we don't ask those things that Allah likes us to ask for. We don't even ask for that path that Allah Ta'ala likes, that journey. We don't even raise our hands and ask Allah what He likes. Have you ever done dua from your heart? Allah, give me such a palace in Jannah, Allah. Allah, give me such a hood in paradise, Allah. Allah, allow me to do an action, give me Jannah. We should have confidence, certainty, faith, Allah, that place I'm going to in the hereafter. When you have yaqeen, then you'll ask Allah, untold you'll ask Allah that very quickly I'm going to go there. So this is a sickness that's embedded inside us, my brothers. This is the sickness that's inside us. And this is what we need to wake up from. And for this, sohbat. Number one, you need company. Sohbat. Company of the awliyaullah and dhikrullah. Both things together you need. Both things are the solution. And this is what Allah's Nabi Sallam has told us the solution. That khashyati wa dhikri. That when you do dhikr of Allah, when you do remembrance of Allah, remember this, look at this point. When you do the dhikr of Allah, look how you then change, improve. What's generated? Then the khashyat comes inside you. Allah's qurb, Allah's fear. And when the fear of Allah comes inside you, then the fear, awareness of Allah, what building will it make for you? What waswasa will it create? That waswasa that will be generated with you, with the fear of Allah, is it will make you afraid of Jahannam. And those actions that take you to hell, it will make you afraid of them. It will make you afraid of lying. It will make you afraid of sin of the eyes. It will make you afraid of ghibat, by biting. All those sins that don't let you go near to Allah and give you negative waswasa, then because you have the fear of dunya inside you, and that's why you don't do the right thing. Say subhanallah. So first is the waswasa negative, then the desires that take you towards sins. But when you take the company of a sheikh, a teacher, do the dhikr of Allah, then you internally will improve and change, your waswasa will change, and then the fear of Allah will come, and the nafs desires will be eliminated. You say, no, yaar. Now remember this point now. Whilst doing dhikr, alhamdulillah, if 1% this change comes inside you, then you are successful. Even if 1% comes inside your table, even if 1% positive, for example, you're doing dhikr, you have the company of a wali Allah, and after that you start feeling that even 1% of positive changes come inside you, alhamdulillah, Allah has made you successful. You have arrived to your destination, just keep on working. And my hazrat, my sheikh said, and I will present you his statement, Nur ala Marqada, may Allah have mercy on him, that if you are doing dhikrullah, Hazrat Sahib said, you're doing dhikr, and you're doing dhikr, and after doing dhikr, this awareness, feeling is not generated. The desire to do good and running away from the sins, if this is not generated with you, then your dhikr is a waste. So that capsule medicine, if you're not given the cure, then that capsule medicine is a waste. So that painkiller, if it's not eradicating your pain, then that painkiller is a waste. So that dhikrullah is not changing your passion inside you. That good is, good deeds are good, and I like that, and sin is bad. If not 1% is coming inside you, then it's announced that your dhikr. But if 1% comes in, then your dhikr is accepted. So just analyze 2 minutes inside your heart. Does that desire come inside you? Alhamdulillah. Then there's success. Then be more afraid and stick to this path more. Super glue yourself to this path more. And that I've got this change inside me. 1% has come. Oh, leave the negative things. This today majlis, and you brothers may have come. Some old friends will have come. Colleagues, these points I've discussed today are presented a hadith in your service. With my useless words, I'm not worthy at all. I presented these words to you. After these words and discussion of today, if inside any of you this passion is generated, that yes, yaar, oh, my thoughts are wrong, I need to think more about the hereafter. Even if this thought is developing inside you, that alhamdulillah, your today gathering has been accepted. Subhanallah. The color has taken effect on you, that your sitting is successful, the positive thoughts have generated inside you, and for the thoughts positive to be generated is a massive result. That even if you work hard for 1,000 years yourself, it won't come. But sitting in the company of Wali Allah, within a minute, the positive thoughts come into your mind and heart. Within a minute. This is the reality. That ibadah, worship, a person can do himself alone, but ibadah should be without riyah, without pretense. You don't understand what I'm saying? For this reason, the positive thought cannot come inside you. But when you sit in the company, sohbat of a wali Allah, a sheikh, one moment in the company of the wali Allah, one moment, second in the company of the wali Allah, it is greater than what? Because you have no pretense, no fake. There's ikhlas, there's sincerity. Suddenly that good company of the sheikh has a sudden effect on you. But you could be worshipping for 100 years. There could be fake, pretense, your nafs, your desires, no self-control, no positive effect. So that's why one moment in the company of a sheikh, a true sheikh in his majlis, if in your heart a sudden small atom of thought is generated, that yaar, I'm living the wrong life. Today I've heard these words. There's a big difference in my life. I'm in the negative. My way of life that I'm spending, my life, lifestyle, the time is opposite to that. The hadith is saying something else, I'm doing something else. I'm just following and worshipping my desires from a baby till now. I've been taught, do this, you have to do this in the world, you have to do this in the world, you have to do this in the world. No one's told us that Jannah is something you should have desires for Jannah. Subhanallah. That Allah's love is something you should have desires for Allah's love. To see Allah in the hereafter, you should have the desire, the desperateness for that. What a great dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That, oh Allah, 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 please increase this desperateness inside me, Allah. Allah, please increase the desire inside me that I can see you in the hereafter. Subhanallah, what a dua. What a desire. Why should we do this dua? So, because we don't have this. So there's a hint here that you don't even have this desire inside you. That you have desire of a house, of getting married, a woman in the world, you have your children. Oh, I'm just getting daughters, I want a son. I've got sons, I want a daughter. The dunya things inside you, that all the desires and requirements and wants of the world that's embedded inside you. In 1%, do you have this desire in your heart? What? Allah, Allah, give me the passion that I'm going to see you in the hereafter. What a great desire. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Think about it for a second. So compare yourself. That look, put the mirror inside between you. Why are you following life blindly, brothers? When we're pushed towards the death, when the eyes will open, there'll be no benefit at that time. Well, that I've lived the life of a hypocrite. Don't spend the life of a munafiq. Don't spend the life of a munafiq. If you've got defect inside you, sickness, disease, then accept them. Feel them. Accept yourself. Give up that I'm wrong. I should be correct. And we're scared. No, 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 I don't want to become good. Oh, if I become good, then I'm stuck. Why? I'll have to leave this sin, I'll have to leave that sin, I'll have to leave this thing in the dunya. We get scared. Oh, my relatives, I'll have to stop seeing them. Oh, I won't be able to go there much. What will I do then? Subhanallah. Then the dunya is coming back to make you afraid. Allah says that you are rejecting my treasures. Surah Rahman, all the verses, you are rejecting them. One desire of the world. Oh, no, no, this person will be upset with me if I follow the deen. Oh, leave the deen. For that person, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Look at this, yaar. What are we today? Look at our desires today. The mountains of desires inside us. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that don't give up, don't lose hope, follow the prescription, change your thoughts and desires in such a way that completely your life should become a scene, a picture, a tempo, that Allah, all your desires, whatever you like, Allah, I will like all those things and do those things. Allah's pleasure is just one pleasure, my friends. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Clear, very concise, that we are so desirous that we want to see Rasulullah. We have a lot of desire. Allah wants you to be happy with me. We have this desire, don't we? That we are those who say these blank statements. Allah has given us a prescription, straightforward path how to get this. What does the Quran say? Quran says, Allah says, the very straightforward, transparent, crystal clear path I've described to you, and it's up to you, but you don't accept it. Allah says, what will happen then? Allah says, those who accept that crystal clear path, the mu'mins, Allah says, then I'll give them good news for the hereafter. Good news for the hereafter. Straightforward path, Allah says in the Quran. Very clear, crystal, straightforward path. Not hard at all to understand. Not hard. So to get Allah's raza, Allah's love, to be a beloved of the Prophet Muhammad, to get the place that Rasulullah loves us and we love him, to get his shifa, to get his intercession, to get his didar, ziyara, straightforward path Allah has given us. Someone's praying, reciting hazar, thousand durood, I want to do ziyara, straightforward path, simple. Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabiuni yuhibbukum Allah, Allah says. Quran straightforward says that if you have all these desires inside you, honestly, and that you want to love Allah, you want Allah to love you, you want to see Allah in the hereafter, and you want Allah to love you, and you want to be Ashik Rasul, and you want to see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I want to see his didar, I want to do ziyara in the dream, and you recite so much durood, I do this recitation prayer, but I can't keep the bed, it's too hard. I just want ziyara dream of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but I can't keep the bed. MashaAllah, eh? Yes, no, I can't keep the bid at all. But just tell me some durood I can recite so that I can do ziyarat. One woman, she phoned, a great woman, sister, great woman. I was surprised. How can I introduce you? She's probably listening as well. Recently. And weird thing she said, subhanAllah, that, Hazrat, she said that just one desire I have, and nothing else, she said. I said, yes, what is it? 70, 80 years old she was. I said, yes. What's the desire? She said that Allah introduced me to Allah. Introduce you to Allah. She said, 80 years, I'm looking for Allah, can't find Allah. Please introduce me to Allah. Introduce me to Allah. I said, have you spoken like this to Allah? She said, yes. And I'm telling you more now. What did you do? And he told me to pray this much Durood Sharif in Morocco. There's a sheikh. He said, recite this much Durood. Since I've been reciting Durood, I can't find Allah. And very straightforward woman. Very sincere. Big, big family. She belongs to. From that family who made Pakistan. If she's from that family, I give the name, you'll be surprised. What is that family? Then, okay. I said, okay, then, after that, what happened? And she said, yes. Now, I don't know what people give us this. One sheikh said to me, stand in water, recite this, 40 days. I said, water. She said, I look for the water. This woman said, and as she said, I found the Ravi River, stood there and I recited these duas. My feet got wet, but I couldn't find Allah. Please introduce me to Allah. SubhanAllah. And she said this with the pain in the heart. Sincere, pious woman. I said, look, where are you trying to find Allah? Allah is with you. Allah said that I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. Closer to you than your jugular vein. She didn't, you don't have yakin, the Quran's telling you. And the sheikhs tell you to stand in water, recite this, wazifas, prayers. It's very simple to find Allah. To get close to Allah. Allah says, I'm close to you. Allah says, there's a curtain between me and you. If you remove that curtain, then you'll come in front of me. She said, what's that curtain? I said, very simple. That just complete that condition. Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُبِكُمْ اللَّهَ. Imitate, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the curtain will be removed. Allah, you will attain Allah, His nearness, His connection. So what's the point? We say, give us a prayer, tell me a durood sharif, I want to see the Prophet in the dream, recite this one thousand. My people are doing it. The wazifa, Allah's given prescription, follow the sunnah of Rasulullah and you'll see ziyarah. And in my life, I've seen this. Three events I've seen in my life, that Rasulullah says, ziyarah, dream, due to following the sunnah, that person got the dream. And I am a witness of that. In my life, three men, I can bear witness, testimony. One, a sahabi came to me, a small point. He came to me and said, I have a lot of love. I said, if you got love, then wouldn't be like this. I said, look at your shalwar, it's dangling low, your shalwar. He said, what will that do? I said, you will get everything from this. Don't you know that Rasulullah doesn't like that your shalwar is hanging below your ankles? And the waswasa came to him. I told you waswasas. He said, what's this point you're telling me? Oh, I recite durood, I pray this and that. I won't tell you his name. He's passed away as well already. I'm this, I've got this. I said, you can say whatever you want, but this is a restriction for you, I told him. Barrier, correct it. From my mouth, it came out. I was sat in the Khanqah at that time. He said, okay, I'll go and think. He went away and thought about it. What's the Hazrat saying to me this? My pajama surrounded the ankles. Then he lifted it up and he left. And the waswasa was in his mind. What a minor thing. I can't see the dream of ziyara. He said, okay, let me do it. So he lifted his shawar above his ankles after that. And I'm telling you about those things who really want the nearness to Rasulullah and Allah, who really leave the sins and they want the ziyarah of Rasulullah. Remember this, not that we keep doing all the sins and we just put the shalwar up and we'll have ziyarah. No, no. This is one example I'm giving to you. The pure, clean human being, if he stopped on one sunnah, if he fulfills that sunnah, he'll get the ziyarah. The next day he came running back to me crying. I said, what's happened? He said, just like you said, I went to sleep in the night and I closed my eyes and I saw Rasulullah in my dream. Subhanallah. And I saw the ziyarah, what you said, that all I saw in the ziyarah, that the Prophet showed me his bottom garment. He was wearing the izar, the dhoti sharif, the tahmad, that today we are ashamed of wearing. How much we are ashamed today. He said, in the dream I saw Rasulullah wearing the dhoti, his izar, and his izar was above his ankles and he was walking and he showed me completely that this is my sunnah in the dream. I said, now will you lift up? He said, all my life, even if my feet are cut, but I won't take my clothes below my ankles. Allahu Akbar. So we have this. What was I sad to say? The hadith of Rasulullah, has it not come out of his blessed mouth? The hadith that we recite, Bukhari Sharif, Malik, Muwatta, that Rasulullah, did these words not come out of his blessed mouth? You don't trust his blessed words until you don't see in a dream. So this is the biggest nifaq hypocrisy, that you should have so much trust and belief that we don't even need to physically see the proof. This is the biggest disease in the heart of the person today. Sahih Bukhari, you're reading the hadith, but you are practicing against the hadith. Why? Because you don't have yaqeen, you don't have belief, you don't have faith. Imagine, and when he saw in a dream, he said, I'll do it, even my feet are cut off, I will never leave this sunnah. Imagine another person, I'll tell you his example. I was on a journey. I'm telling you the events of Rasulullah's sunnah is everything, the be-all, the end-all. Through the sunnah you'll get Allah, through the sunnah you'll get Rasulullah, through the sunnah you'll get Jannah. Our waswasas have deceived us and hidden this reality from us and have suppressed our desires. The biggest waswas raised, there's no need. It's not necessary sunnah. Do X, Y, Z and leave the sunnah. This, our desires have suppressed and demoted the sunnah of Rasulullah to the bottom pit of our life. Rather, it is at the highest of the list. If in our life you want to start your life for the hereafter, tuhibbu wa tarda, you want to do it, Allah's pleasure and according to his choice, then the first action you need to do in your life is Rasulullah's sunnahs. You have to start practicing in your life. Otherwise your life's a waste. It's the biggest deception, biggest delusion. Biggest delusion. If you're not following sunnah. So a brother came and sat next to me. He lived in Medina, this person. And he introduced himself. I was going on Umrah. On the journey, he came and sat down next to me. MashaAllah, he was following Sharia, Noor on his face. He was learning ilm, studying in Medina Sharif. And he was an Arab. And mashallah, I was sitting next to him. Suddenly I asked him, I said, you're on a journey with me, you're sitting next to me, I'll ask you a question. And the time is short, but let me start our discussion from there. He said, what? I said, you are Madani, you live in Medina and you're studying Medina and mashallah, and from top to bottom you are following the sunnah. Tell me, how many times have you done ziyarah of Rasulullah? I asked him. And I said, yeah, must see, have you got yakin on this? And he started to smile and look at me. He said, you have yakin on this? I said, of course there's yakin on this point. That without wasting time, I said, tell me, have you done ziyarah of Rasulullah? He said, you've asked me, so let me tell you a dream now. So there's a second example of the sunnah I'm sharing with you, so that your taqwa can increase. So he then told me his dream. Today his face, I remember it, mashallah, beautiful face. He had a white complexion, full beard, young man, young student. So he said to me, the point was this, that one day I go to study in Medina in the afternoon. I used to do Kailula. This is, mashallah, also a habit of the Arabs a lot. He said, for the afternoon nap, at that time I was very tired and it was my lesson time soon. So quickly I went towards my room and I was tired in such a way that at that time, he said, that I just went and lay down suddenly. And I didn't look at my side, what side I lay down on, I just lay down. In other words, I didn't do Amal on the Sunnah, and I just went down and lay down. In the wrong way, on the left side, I laid him. He said, soon as my eyes closed, Rasulullah suddenly came in the door. This was his words, the student. He said, my eyes, and the Prophet had his hands, and he said to him in Arabic, that you have rejected my sunnah? You have left my sunnah? Soon as I saw that, he said, suddenly I woke up. He said, that was my first ziyarah And then I realized I value the importance of the sunnah at that time. Subhanallah. Just one turn of the side of the body. How to lie down. And he said, just because that's our standard. It's not just. It's not only. He said, I wasn't paying attention that time. I wasn't cautious. I didn't lay down the right way, the way I should have laid down and gone to sleep. And the way of the sunnah. He said, I gave up the sunnah. Immediately the Prophet warned me and gave me ziyarah that this is not the way that you can just reject my sunnah. So my brothers, let's ask about our own lives. How much love do we have for Rasulullah? We say we have a lot of love. You can put naats on, nasheeds on, tears will come on, we'll shriek out, we'll throw money towards the nasheed. But we won't keep the beard. We won't wear the imam or the turban. We won't wear the libas. We'll never want to do a nakal imitation with the Prophet. We won't sit down and eat. We won't lick our fingers after eating. Tell me, how many people sit down when they eat? After that, do they lick their fingers three times? This finger, this finger, this finger. How many times do we teach our children these things? We don't teach them adab of eating. For us, this is not deen. It's not religion. But it's such a deen that Rasulullah's ziyarah is attained from this deen. So my brothers, today's sabak lesson is this. Lesson of today was just this. The message that I'm sharing with you is this. That according to our desires, we need to annul and we need to live our lives according to Allah's choice and desire and pleasure. Tuhibbu wa tarda. Always our thought process should be, what does Allah like? What does Allah like? What action does Allah like? What words does Allah like? But I want to make Allah please, nothing else. And if I please Allah, then all of the goodness will come through Allah's pleasure, and that will come only by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. May Allah ta'ala become pleased with all of us, and may Allah ta'ala allow these words to penetrate our heart so that we can go towards amal and action. Ameen. Wasaidu.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin shafi'il muslimin. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي أزواجه وحد المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وسلم تسليما دائما اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا حصلنا وجدنا وختمنا اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما يا الله مشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين يا الله مشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم مشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافع البلايات اشف بلاياتنا يا شافي الامراض اشف امراضنا يا شافي الامراض اشف امراضنا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله وصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته أهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.